You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca, along with Anthony Pusick. How are you, sir?
Donnie, what's going on? How are you? How was your weekend?
Good. Very good. Very busy.
Okay.
A lot going on.
Yeah.
EJ Raddick usually joins us on Monday, but he's at the general manager's meeting.
I don't understand.
A little busy. Couldn't work out of time. We're actually recording this much later than we usually do. It's after 2 o'clock.
Lots going on this week.
Listen, a lot going on. A lot good. A lot bad. A lot indifferent. Let's start with the bad. And that's some teams that really did not take advantage of the weekend. And let's start with the New York Islanders, who are still in pretty good shape. They right now sit a point out of a playoff spot with a game in hand on Detroit, but only 1 point in their two games over the weekend. Lose to Ottawa. Patrick Waugh is beside himself.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
They were lucky to get a point. Horvat scored late to force overtime, and then Tkachuk had the hat trick in OT to win it. And then, you know, they squander the one goal early lead against the Rangers. And listen, there's no shame losing to the Rangers, Anthony. Rangers are a better hockey team. But considering the Rangers were playing their fifth game in seven days.
Yep.
Had played in Pittsburgh the afternoon before, their game started at 3:15. By that time, the Islanders, who played at home, or had already finished their game against Ottawa and only had to go, like 7-8 miles or whatever it is to Madison Square Garden, or probably just stay wherever they were going to stay after the game and just roll into Madison Square Garden and really get thoroughly beat. I honestly, and in the Rangers being able to protect a one-goal lead down 5 defensemen because of Ryan Lindgren being out, that's a really tough loss for a desperate Islander team.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Waugh said it after the game. He said the Rangers were a team that looked like they wanted it more, or something to that effect. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but essentially a team that got outplayed were the Islanders. And you kind of saw it, and you said it, Don. I mean, the Rangers gave them nothing in the third period, and that's without Ryan Lindgren.
Yeah.
They really clamped down, played that 1-3-1 to perfection. Bo Horvat has been great for this team, but that's the name you heard a lot, and you didn't really hear a whole lot of Matt Barzal.
No.
He was quiet. You heard it on the broadcast with Alex and the TNT broadcast. Well, you're not really hearing Barzal's name all that much. That's indicative of a team not playing well. Now, I thought for a while that the Panarin line was quiet, but I could see Patrick Waugh looking and saying, that's the line you got to shut down. Let everybody else beat you.
Right.
Well, everybody else did. Every other line scored and scored pretty effectively. Zibanejad had a great goal. Cooley had a great goal. Brodzinski, that nice shot by Miller. Miller had another fantastic game. I mean,
4
you know,
points in 2 games for Miller.
See, you don't need Jacob Trouba, right? Now you don't need Ryan Lindgren. But it's been a daunting, and we talked about it before this week started, a daunting schedule for the Rangers, yet they've somehow managed to play pretty well here. They've only lost one of the games on this daunting run, and they beat Carolina. They beat an Islander team that needed the game. And now the Capitals, who have the same amount of points as the Islanders, actually have played one less game. They look like on a 2-game win streak, 6-4-0 in their last 10. They're knocking on the door of a potential playoff spot.
Yeah, Ovechkin's actually playing very, very well.
Yes, he is.
He may end up being a point-a-game player by the time it's all said and done this year. So he's kind of back, getting better goaltending. So the Islanders have to leapfrog over Washington. Detroit, they finally ended their 7-game losing streak, beating Buffalo over the weekend, then lose to Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh's are pretty much done here. Pittsburgh's got 69 points with 67 games played. Pittsburgh isn't going anywhere, neither is Buffalo. So
that was
really
a crazy game on Saturday, by the way.
Yeah, no, that was.
You called that one.
That was a crazy game on Saturday. All the back and forth. I thought Quick was terrific in that game, despite giving up 4 goals. I thought he was outstanding in the third period, where he made 3 point blank saves when that game was still very much up for grabs. And eventually Rangers won that game 7-4, I think kind of putting to bed the Penguins. But Washington's still alive, Detroit, and then you got Philadelphia sits there as the third seed in the Metro, but they've lost a couple of games in a row. They've got two games with Boston, I believe, this week or coming up on the schedule. So Islanders aren't dead. Capitals aren't dead. Detroit, Philadelphia. But Washington and New York still has the avenue of finishing in the top three in the Metropolitan Division, something that Detroit does not have. So the Islanders still in pretty good shape despite their minus 20 goal differential. But they're living off that six-game winning streak. And then since then, they are held to 21 shots against Buffalo, lose that game in Buffalo. Then you follow it up by losing at home to Ottawa. I'm sorry, you got to beat the Senators if you expect to make the playoffs, and then getting no points against the Rangers. So they followed up that six-game winning streak, Anthony, by only getting 1 point in the next three, so they're kind of giving it back here.
Two big games.
Like actually four, because, I'm sorry, they lost to the Kings to end the streak.
Yeah.
Got shut out by the
Bad
Kings.
Bad game.
So 1 point in the last four since coming off that six-game winning streak.
Yeah, and you know what? Again, and Patrick Waugh has done a great job, and give credit to him, of getting this team, or attempting to get this team back on track. But I do think that there are some things missing here. And you could see by the way that Patrick Waugh talks in his post-game comments that this roster might look a little different next year. I don't know if there's enough Patrick Waugh guys on this team. I think Bo Horvat is a big piece of that.
Yes.
I think you'd like to see more from Matt Barzell. I think you'd like to see more from the defense as a whole, but they've been banged up and they've had injuries here and there this year. It's been hard for them to get going. Sorokin didn't have his best game against the Rangers yesterday, but again, there was a lot of turnovers, a lot of point blank slap shots.
It was a
shots.
Nice goal by Cooley. I would think he
yeah,
he
not
should
every not everyone. Yeah, not everyone. But and then you got to look. This is something that the Islanders are going to be watching tonight, even though they're not in action. Two big games for East teams out west. You've got Washington and Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Calgary, I think Calgary's done, but Washington can use that game to keep themselves in it. And the Sabres, if they have any shot of sticking around here against the Kraken, you got to beat the Kraken in Seattle. And it could just put the pressure more on this Islander team to make sure that they don't squander this opportunity that they've given themselves. They're 29, 23, and 15. 6-3-1 in their last 10 is very impressive, but a game against, like you said, banged-up Rangers team, tired Rangers team, didn't look tired, certainly had their legs. I don't know how they found them. They'd probably just have ice packs on themselves right all day today before they play the Jets tomorrow, which is going to be no easy task for them either. Another hellish week for them. I don't know. For me, Philadelphia is the wild card here, like you said, Don, because we just take a look at that wild card standing, but they're only those 3 points behind Philly, and Philly has not looked good. Obviously, without Carter Hart, they have some injuries on defense. I think the Torts has done a good job of keeping them where they're at this year, but you could see them slip away, and does Washington or the Islanders take that spot? Does Detroit's 2-8-0 in their last 10. Are they going to hold on to that spot, or are they going to slip
out? I don't
know. Because
they had a five-game winning streak before they slid,
yes,
and had the seven-game losing streak,
yeah.
So if they're going to be streaky like that, when it couple in a row, they can be back.
Because that's a game last today. That's a game you got to win against a Penguin team playing for pride. Essentially, we kind of think that they're done, but they obviously have offensive talent. Sidney Crosby scored again. Michael Bunting scored for them. To give up six goals to a Penguin team that is really just playing out the string here, for a team that has playoff aspirations, that's not a good look.
No, I don't think they're a great team, but I don't think a great team is going to get that final seed.
No, I think they're a year away anyway. It would be nice if they moved it with Yzerman to get into the playoffs this year, but there's still some work to be done for that team.
And that's why there is a real reason to finish in first in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, I like what you're saying here.
Because you're going to take on a team that is not very good. Now, that doesn't mean they can't win. It's the NHL. But you might take a limping in Red Wing team, a limping in Flyer team, a limping in Islander team, a limping in Capital team. And then, so if you win the Eastern Conference, which is right now a battle between the Rangers, the Panthers, and the Bruins, and the Hurricanes are in there too, that is a much easier matchup than having to take on, of all teams, the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round of the playoffs, which right now the two seed would have to play. Because I don't think Tampa's going to catch Detroit, and I don't think they're going to fall down to the last wild card spot. So I don't think Tampa's a championship team, but do I want to have to deal with Vasilevsky and Hedman and Stamkos and Kucherov and Point, you know, in a best of seven series with that coach and that pedigree? That's why it's going to be very interesting at the top of who is going to end up winning this Eastern Conference. Boston right now is on fire. So Boston's got the top spot with 95. Florida's got 94. The Rangers got 94. Carolina with 90. It's going to be very interesting down the stretch of these teams wanting to win this conference for the reason that I just stated.
Yeah, I've already seen, I don't know how you feel about this, Don. I hate it. You see people saying, you know, maybe it's in the Rangers' best interest to drop into the second spot in the Metro. Let Carolina win. I don't like that. I don't like that whole entire strategy of trying to move yourself down to play an easier opponent, because then if you do win that series, then you, and Carolina wins their series, then you have to play Carolina in a seven game series in the Eastern Conference semis with Carolina having the game seven at home. I understand you don't want to play Tampa, right? That's probably harder than what Philly would be, or what Washington would be, or what the Islanders would be. But you don't give away games. You don't try and lower yourself in the standings to try and avoid a team that you might have to face at some point.
No.
So, you know what? Because who's to say that the Lightning can't beat the Carolina Hurricanes? And then you're playing the Lightning in the second round. You have to beat who's in front of you, no matter what.
You want to get home ice, and you want to try to finish as high as possible. And as you said, if I can win the President's Trophy, and I can get home ice throughout, you know, I want to try to go for that. And that definitely is on the table. Rangers play the Bruins and the Panthers this week, so they can kind of control their own destiny as far as passing those two teams. And they've got a really tough Winnipeg team coming up tomorrow. But I want to get back to Carolina for a second. They're 4 points back of the Rangers. Unreal win against Toronto on Saturday.
Yeah.
Gensel gets the shootout goal. Then Gensel scores his first goal as a Hurricane in what you're supposed to do when you're a playoff team, and that's the Hurricanes thrashing the Ottawa Senators 7-2. So this is not, this division is not won by the Rangers. You know, we haven't got word on Lindgren's injury, although I think they can survive it because they did pick up Ruedel, although Ruedel can't play the left from what I understand. So they're going to have to figure something out here. It might mean Jones moving to the left. I might have Jones play with Fox. Ruedel then play down with Gustafson. We'll see how they work it out. We don't even know if Lindgren's going to be out for tomorrow. Rangers are off today, so we're probably not going to get any information on that.
I'm not a doctor.
No, it didn't look good.
But I play one on TV.
I think he's going to be out for a bit here.
Yeah. And that really hurts them, too, just in general.
Well, of course, because he's a workhorse. You miss him. I mean, he's not somebody that's really flashy, but he's somebody that's consistent, and you're going to have to figure out. This is why you go out and get a Chad Ruedel. This is why you go and make sure you're eight deep defense-wise when you get to the playoffs, because you're going to lose guys. Truba's probably still another week away at least. So you're going to have to probably play shorthanded now for the next week or so.
Me and my buddy were laughing. Scott, who called in on Friday.
Okay.
We're laughing about the TNT intermission report in the midst of listening to you, of course. Keith Yandel brought up, because they asked him, what's it like to lose somebody like Lindgren, who's like a workhorse and blah, blah, blah. He said, well, when I was on the Rangers and Kevin Klein was my defensive pair, I felt great. And then late in the season, he broke his hand, and then they paired me up with Dan Boyle, and me and him looked at each other and said, so who's going to play defense? Not to say Adam Fox, Norris Trophy winner, can't play defense, but he knows that Ryan Lindgren's going to be the guy that's going to sit back. If he wants to pinch up, Lindgren's going to be there. If you move somebody up like a Jones or somebody else, is he going to be that guy that Fox can rely on as much as he can rely on Lindgren? And that's usually where they run into problems, Don.
But what do you do?
Because I don't
know. You don't want to break up Miller and Schneider.
No. They've been very good.
So, from what I understand, I don't know what the Rangers will say publicly, but the people that I talk to say that Ruedel can't play the left. He's a right-handed,
right defenseman. And he says he's willing to do anything to get in the lineup.
No, of course he is, but I'm just saying.
Wouldn't you?
Right, but we'll see when the...
Gustafson?
Gustafson can do it, too.
I think he could do it.
Although, pairing Gustafson with Fox, to me, is...
Well, again, you're looking for that stay-at-home guy, right? Not that Gustafson isn't, but then they're going to look at each other and go, all right, so who's going to play defense?
But what Anthony is describing to you is the dilemma of losing Ryan Lindgren. You know, so now they're going to have to try to figure that out. But, you know, Carolina is only 4 points back. They've won 3 in a row, 8-2-0 in their last 10. The one loss they did have in that span was the 1-0 game to the Rangers, which was an epic game. So, boy, it's going to be a lot of fun. Boston, Florida, New York, Carolina, any of those teams can come out of the Eastern Conference. Seeing a lot of them recently, you got to really feel good. And look at the goal differentials, too. I mean, Boston's got the worst goal differential of them all, right? Florida's at plus 59. Rangers, Carolina plus 48. Rangers plus 44. Bruins plus 41. You know, so it's so tight. It's so crazy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
you go out west, and again, I'm going to state that I think the West is over.
Huge win for Vegas last night.
Yeah, massive. And that puts to sleep the Devils' back-to-back losses on back-to-back days against Arizona and against Vegas.
Arizona.
Just getting no shots on goal either. But Vegas with 79 points, the Kings with 79 points. Right now, the Golden Knights lose the tiebreaker because of the RW wins, which is just one, 29-28. So that's a big deal, too, of who's going to finish in third, who's going to finish with the last wild card. Although, you know, who am I playing if I'm the last wild card team? Am I playing Vancouver? Am I playing Winnipeg? Am I playing Colorado? Am I playing Dallas? I don't know.
I think it's
who I'm going to play.
It's obviously, and this may sound dumb, Don, but we were just talking about how Tampa can really do very well against no matter who they play. We would think they're going to give a team a hard time. It's in Vegas' best interest to get back in the top of the Pacific,
right?
Because I think the Kings at home, again, their home record scares me. The fact that with OT losses, they actually have an under 500 record at home, that doesn't sit well with me. If Vegas jumps in and plays Edmonton, I think Vegas can beat Edmonton if the game 7 is in Edmonton. I think they can do that. The Kings this year have been up and down. They go down to the wild card spot, they have to play a team like Vancouver or Winnipeg. I think that the Jets or Vancouver would much rather prefer play the Kings than play a possibly healthy Golden Knights.
See, that's
team.
What I was saying is that you kind of have the reverse where nobody wants to play that second wild card in the East. Nobody's going to want to play that last wild card. Now, that's not to say Vegas can't pass Nashville. They're only 3 points back in Nashville with a game in hand.
Boy, they've been good.
So Vegas can still finish as the 3 seed in the Pacific. They can still finish as the first wild card, finish as the second wild card. But the fact is that even though St. Louis is only 4 points back, Vegas has a game in hand. St. Louis has made it interesting with their 4 straight wins. So I guess you can't discount the Blues. The Wild are 5 points back. Also, one more game played than Vegas. So I think Vegas is going to be okay to make it. I think we're set in the Western Conference. It's just that what do you do? All right, I don't want to win the president. I don't want to win the 1 seed in the West because I don't want to take on Vegas. Okay, Winnipeg may not be able to afford to do that, or Colorado or Dallas, because as they're trying to win the Central Division, they could also now win the conference.
Yeah.
But if they don't win the conference, they might have to settle for second in the Central, and now they're paired with Winnipeg or Dallas or Colorado, as opposed to having to take on. And I don't care, as good as Vegas is, if I'm Winnipeg, Colorado, or Dallas, I'd rather play Vegas than have to play Colorado, Dallas, or Winnipeg.
That's
the
round. Right question, Don, if you're a Central team.
Right.
That is the right question. Then you pray that Vancouver, you don't hope that somebody wins the West over you. But if you have to, and you're not going to beat Vancouver, Vancouver's going to be better than you in points. You're going to want to win your division because you think you have a better shot against either Vegas or LA than Colorado or Dallas. Let's just say Winnipeg because they're first right now. And probably all those other teams feel that way too. You don't want to be that 2-3 matchup in the Central. That is a bloodbath. That could be a Western Conference final if everything was organized the right way and then it shook out that way. And that's going to be a good team that doesn't make it past the first round. And you're going to see that in a couple of different matchups in these playoffs, which is what makes the bracket so fun or not fun, depending on who you ask. I think you absolutely want to avoid the 2-3 in the Central if you're one of those teams. And at the same time, you know what? Try your luck against Vegas. Try your luck against LA. And you know what? If you have to play Nashville, you have to play Nashville. You've been better than them all year anyway.
Right.
But you got to get through a team at some point.
But it's just crazy. As you're trying to win the Central Division, which is vitally important, you might end up winning the President's Trophy or the 1 seed and find yourself having to play Vegas in the first round. Winnipeg, so good in Columbus. I actually, because it was such a nice day and I had the day off, barbecued. I threw on the Winnipeg Jet radio feed. And they just they clubbed the Blue Jackets like a seal. I mean, it was just that game was that second period was an embarrassment for Columbus. But Winnipeg is that good. I'm really looking forward to calling that game tomorrow. See Winnipeg live for the first time this year. That is a beast of a schedule for the Rangers. And we'll jump into the social media with Sam Diaz, who says next 5 games for the Rangers are against the Jets, at Bruins, home against the Panthers, home against the Flyers, at the Avs. That's super tough. I'd say they go 2-3 in that stretch. What do you say?
It's been super tough. Let me see where Lindgren is.
Right. I mean, if I had to guess, I would think Lindgren's not going to go against the Jets.
Think that first game will be tough. That's probably a loss, if I had to guess it.
I don't feel good about it. I'm calling the game tomorrow.
Well, then you're not going to give an opinion. So I mean, you're not going to give a pick. You'll give an opinion.
Well, that is a tough spot. They could beat the Bruins. They've beaten the Bruins twice already this year. So does that make it harder or easier? I don't know. Panthers. That was a very close game when they played at the Garden last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And there was that bad goal by Igor
that went off of Trouba's Lomberg.
Foot. Yeah, that was the Lomberg. Because that was a tie game in the third. So, and all their games have been right down. Both matchups were decided basically by a goal.
Correct.
It was a 3-2 game and then the 4-2 game with the empty netter at the Garden. One of the games of Florida. This one's going to be at the Garden. The other one was at the Garden. Not impossible. Flyers, certainly you can beat. At Avs, took care of the Avs coming out of the All-Star break, if you remember. Colorado, listen, you're playing in Colorado.
16 win streak, playing some good hockey.
And think about the Rangers situation. They went into yesterday's game with 15 left. 10 at home, 5 on the road. So now it's 9-5. Their 5 road games are Colorado, Arizona, Boston coming up, Boston, Colorado, Arizona, Detroit, and the Islanders. So they don't have a ton of travel at all.
Not much.
Real quote-unquote trip the rest of the way is the two quick games they're going to play next Thursday and Saturday in Colorado and Arizona. So a lot of home cooking for the Rangers here. I don't want to settle for 2-3. I'd like to go 3-2. Certainly the Flyers aren't unbeatable. I don't think the Bruins are either. But yeah, listen, it's a very, very difficult week. Who would have thought they would have won 4 of the 5 they did last week?
I wouldn't have, to be honest with you.
And then you can come back and you could beat Arizona. So if they go 3-3 in the next 6, I think you'd be fine. And then we'll see what happens with the Avalanche. With the Hurricanes. Let me take a look at the Hurricanes schedule over the next 6, since they both have the same amount of games played. As I punch it up here.
Got it for you, Don. Ready?
I'm ready for it, baby.
Icelanders.
Okay.
On the island. Yes. Philly at home.
Okay.
In Washington.
Mm.
Toronto at home.
Mm.
In Pittsburgh. And then against the Red Wings. So, that is not as difficult by any stretch of the imagination.
And then you might as well just go the rest of the month, and then they're at Montreal.
Like maybe the Islanders give you a fight because Waugh was so angry at them after the Ranger game, so they give you a tough time. Again, Philly to me, I don't know what to make of them. Torts has them playing hard, but how good are they? Capitals are interesting. They're hanging on there.
I know.
Toronto,
because they're doing this out west. Right?
Yeah, they are.
I mean, so they're going to come home, and then they should be able to be in a little bit of a better spot.
Yeah.
Big wins against Seattle and Vancouver to kind of get back into this thing.
No, this is the test of the toughness of the Rangers, and Carolina's got, I'm not going to call it a cupcake schedule, but it's easier than the Rangers schedule. They could probably go 4-2 in these games if they wanted to.
Oh, let's see. Sean says the Rangers led at the All-Star break. Was a lead over the All-Star break was 2 points over Carolina. They had 63 points to Carolina's 61 and played one more game. The Rangers are 15-3-1 since then, and their lead has grown only 2 points. Sensationally strong hockey. It is so true. That's why this Carolina team, you know, the resiliency. I picked them to go to the Stanley Cup final. They're starting to really flex their muscle. That's why that game last Tuesday was so important.
Yeah.
To be able to win that game, win the game in regulation. But, you know, Sean is so right. To go over that span, over, you know, 18, 19 games and not really gain any kind of ground, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it speaks to how good Carolina's been playing. It almost diminishes how good the Rangers have been playing. Because you look and you say, how have we not made any ground up on Carolina? Well, they've been playing just as well as you. And if not for the game that you beat them in, that could be a whole different story. Look, it's going to be a battle. And again, you have the debate and you have the argument. Is it so bad if Carolina leapfrogs the Rangers in the Metro? Well, you'll be saying that if the Rangers find a way to win the first round matchup and then they have to play Carolina in the second round and the game 7 is in Carolina. They've done it once before. It's not something fun. I wouldn't recommend doing it all the time. Mm-hmm. Trying to win on the road in a game 7. Try and make it a little easier on yourselves every once in a while would be nice. But two of the best teams, and look, you know, if you're the Maple Leafs sitting there in third in the Atlantic, you want to see the Bruins or the Panthers? Do you really have a? Would you rather see the Bruins?
I know.
You think might be a better team to own you.
And I love your analogy of, well, you're gonna have to face them at some point, but you know, you want to try to go as deep into the playoffs as you can, and you hate to see an early round exit. But if you're gonna win the Cup, you're gonna have to beat some tough teams. There's
Correct.
No question. Mark says, not a question, more of an appreciation. What a revelation Trocheck has been. After Bread, easily team MVP, in my opinion. A few contenders for that, Quick, Laffy, but his rising to the All-Stars, the number two center for Heedle, has been a pivotal development in the season.
Could be the Stephen McDonald winner this year.
He could be. And you know what's interesting? I go back to the acquisition of Trocheck, and I thought, Trocheck is a better player than Ryan Strome.
Correct.
But will he have the chemistry Strome had with Panarin? And apparently that's been answered in spades.
Apparently it's
all right,
better.
So that pass has been terrific.
In the Pittsburgh game, unbelievable.
Yeah, it is crazy when you look at Panarin. Panarin's got 94 points now. That's too shy of a career high. He had 96 in 21-22, and his 37 goals is the most he's ever had. So he is going to be a 100-point scorer. Pretty crazy stuff.
By the way, I put my, because the Rangers put it out, I did put my McDonald Extra Effort Award vote in this weekend.
Oh, you did?
Will Cooley.
Well, why not Will Cooley?
I think he's had a fantastic game.
Yeah.
And we said that he had a little bit of a rough stretch in that Tampa game. Bounced back, scored a goal yesterday. Big goal for him and a good weekend for him.
He got benched after that Tampa penalty and then was demoted to the fourth line in the next game.
And then he took a bad penalty back in that game.
Yeah, but not as bad because he got his minutes back and actually moved back up to the third line. Ethan says, guys, is it time to start worrying about the production of the Eliases in Vancouver?
Yes.
Petey's point production hasn't been abysmal since the All-Star game, but neither of them are noticeable for a full 60-minute game in and out. Since that trade, Vancouver, it's felt different. And then
yes,
they admitted they were trying to trade him again because he hasn't really been that great of a fit.
Lindholm, you mean?
Lindholm.
Yeah.
And then Patterson got, it's been, where they gave him the contract. There's a lot going on there in Vancouver. I like them.
I like their offense.
It is, yeah. I don't know if they're deep enough defensively. Their goaltending has been great, but doesn't have the pedigree.
Yeah, I like Demko in general.
They've lived with the Miller and Patterson and Hughes and what they've been able to accomplish. But again, they don't have the pedigree overall as a team right now that you felt comfortable with them being assured of a run. Now, they still have first place in the Pacific Division. They are still in first place in the Western Conference and still very much in the conversation for the President's Trophy, although they've been very average for a little long now. So
it's been like a Rangers January run for them.
But I'm not feeling great about, unless this team all of a sudden gets back to the vibe, they don't look like they may have a run in them. Especially if you end up having to match up with Vegas in the first round.
Look, I was in love with their offense. I've said it for a long time. I think that Vancouver has the best offense in hockey. Colorado has something to say about that now. They have 254 goals. They've clearly surpassed them goals for. Now, goals for isn't the only indication. But the reason that, Don, we felt this way is because Miller, Besser, Pettersson, Hughes, four of these guys were in the top 10 in points for most of the season early on. They looked like they were going to score at will against anybody, and it didn't matter. And because Demko is a better than above average goaltender, you felt really good. No, their defense doesn't, outside of Hughes, their defense doesn't wow me. And I like Tyler Myers. He's big body. He can get to the dirty areas, and that's fine. But this team was going to be able to go far based on how well their offense was playing. And if you're already worrying about, if Pettersson has dropped off, Lindholm really hasn't really fit, like you said.
Yeah.
That's concerning. And if they get shut down, can you rely on Miller and Besser and Hughes to carry the load? I don't know. Not in a 7-game series. Maybe get through one round, but that where we think it's going to be Western Conference Finals, easily fly through in that Pacific and then have to face that Central team. I don't know if that's in a run for them right now if they're playing like this. We know they have it in them.
Right.
But the question is it going to come up when they need it most?
All right, let's finish it up with JJ. He says, hey, Don and Anthony, is Vegas in a good spot to at least make it back to the final with the West being so up in the air?
No. No.
It's up in the air because you've got four unbelievably good teams up there.
The final we're talking about?
I know they made it last year, but you're not going to have to go through Vancouver, Colorado, Dallas, and Winnipeg to get there. Only half of those teams, but still, I wouldn't think so.
I don't know.
No. They get Stone back, and the Hanifin deal was a good one, and they're a good team, and they're a dangerous team, but I think there are teams that are way better than them up top.
I put them maybe fifth.
Because it's wide open because you've got so many good teams. I mean, they're not all going to get knocked
off. I think all three Central teams are better. Vancouver at their best are better.
Yes. So that's,
I'm not in love with Edmonton. You know, I'm not in love. You know, I'm not in love with Edmonton with Skinner. No. I'm not in love with the Kings. The Predators are playing better than them. I think the Vegas.
I want to see where this Predator thing goes because they haven't played in a while, but they just continue to get the job done. And do you think Chicago's best course of action is to improve the team in stocking up draft picks, building through free agency, or both? Well, the answer is always both, but they're going to have another high pick this year. So they get Bedard last year. They might have the first overall pick again this upcoming year, although this draft isn't nearly as strong as we've seen in recent years.
It's Celebrini, right?
And that's... Yeah, and it seems like it's going to be it, but still, they're going to have to do free agency. Chicago is still a very attractive place for free agents to go. Original six vibe and all that. So, no, the answer is always both, but you kind of lean on the side of draft because, again, for a second consecutive year, they might end up with the first overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, I'd say more draft. Connor Bedard just got named a star of the week. He had 7 points in three games. I mean, clearly it doesn't matter that team is lacking in offensive weapons. He seems to find a way to get things done. You build the right way with this team, and you don't mortgage the future to just try and accelerate a rebuild in a very, very tough Western Conference, and you just gradually get better, maybe take the Red Wing approach, where, listen, it's going to hurt for a couple years, but just be patient with us, and we're going to get this going on the right track. I think that's what you do. If a player wants to come to Chicago, you don't say no, right?
No, you don't.
But I think you look at trying to get Celebrini. If you don't like what you see in the second or third pick, which you're probably going to have if San Jose keeps losing and there's no indication that they're going to get any better, you trade down, get some more picks, try and get maybe a prospect out of it, and you build that way. But like you said, Don, the answer is always both. I'd lean more draft.
All right. Let's try to get EJ on Wednesday, only because he's at the general manager's meetings. I know there's going to be a lot of conversation about expansion.
If you insist.
Much to talk about with the Arizona situation, maybe some resolution there. So we'll try to catch up with EJ. If not, we'll definitely do a pod on Wednesday. So want to get in touch with us at Don LaGreca, at Anthony Pusick, hashtag Game Misconduct. Talk to you on Wednesday, buddy.
Let's do it.
All right, we'll talk to you then. This is the Monday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.